Welcome to the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Right this way. Your therapist will see you shortly. In the meantime, sit back, kick your feet up on the couch, and get ready to focus on adding very valuable tools to your marriage toolkit. And now your host and marriage counselor, David Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's up, guys? How are you guys doing today? This is David Taylor, and I am your host. First off, I would like to welcome you back to another information-packed episode of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. And if you are new to this podcast, welcome. I appreciate y'all coming to the office. I appreciate you guys booking your session at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. This is a place where you're going to get credible and tangible marriage-related information from a licensed mental health counselor. And over the past 19 years of my clinical experience, I've been experimenting, I've been reading, I've been writing, I've been researching, and I've discovered some things that will work to make your marriage healthy. Now, of course, you got to apply this stuff, but if you do, it will take your marriage to the next level. So I want you to see these episodes as a masterclass in marriage, where I take a psychological and practical approach to marriage education and enrichment. And guys, you know, you've heard me say, especially in episode one, that the main reason that marriages fail is due to ignorance. It's because we just don't know. We don't have the information, and then we don't apply the information. So this podcast is my approach at trying to solve that problem. So welcome to episode number 14. This is going to be one of those really important episodes that you don't want to miss, and you want to make sure you're taking notes. I'll be sharing with you, this is going to be fun. I'm going to be sharing with you guys 5 rules for better communication. Now, don't let the mediocre title, because I know that I could do better, but don't let the title fool you. This information, I promise you, you will want to know about. These are going to be tools that if you correctly use inside of your marriage, while you're communicating with your spouse, your communication will definitely go to the next level. And like I said, this is marriage fails because of ignorance. So let this information edify your soul and pique your interest so that you can take this stuff and apply it. Also, I did a podcast episode where I talked about the 10 pillars of marriage. Effective communication is one of the 10 pillars. Let this make your pillar of communication stronger. That way, you're adding things, you're implementing things, you are accumulating additional resources that will only solidify the pillar of effective communication. Now, these 5 rules, if you apply them to your marriage, they will do exactly just that. So, let me not waste any more time. Go get your pen and pad if you ain't got one already, and be prepared to take some notes. Okay, we're going to go ahead and jump in and start with rule number 1. And I hope you enjoy this. This is going to be information that I like it. It's one of my favorite topics to discuss. So here's rule number 1. Rule number 1 says this: there are dramatic differences between how husbands communicate and how wives communicate. I know that sounds basic, but let's go a little deeper. Men and women communicate differently. Now, that may be obvious, but let me explain why this is so important to know for your marriage. See, you and your spouse will often use the same words to communicate, but will be meaning 2 completely different things. See, men communicate more literally, and women communicate more emotionally. Now, this is not a good or bad thing. It's just the difference between how men communicate and women communicate. I'm actually going to expand this point further in rule number 2. But for now, really think about this notion that men and women communicate differently. We just do. And what I want you to do with this particular rule is just to be mindful of the expectations that you have for your spouse in the area of communication. Because if you're not careful, you will find yourself expecting for them to communicate to you the way you communicate to them. And you'll be expecting for them to communicate to you for the same reasons that you communicate to them. Now, I'll talk more about that in a bit. But for now, just understand, real briefly, that men and women communicate differently and for different reasons. That's going to be the umbrella rule. Everything else that I talk about will fall underneath this, because now I get to talk about how, what the differences look like. But I can't go there until you at least understand that there is a fundamental difference between how men communicate and how women communicate. Okay? So watch your expectations. Be mindful that there is a difference, so that when you are going into a conversation, you're not expecting for them to be you. You're not expecting for them to sound like you, to reason the way you reason, or logic the way you logic, or emote the way you emote. Men and women are fundamentally different in this space. How different? Well, let's go to rule number two. And let me focus on the differences, the most glaring differences that most people, even though it's glaring, they may not be aware of. So rule number two is this: men communicate in straight lines. Women communicate in color. Now, this is a fact of life, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that we can do about it to change that. We just have to be good at understanding these differences, recognizing these differences, and appreciating these differences, especially when it comes to you and your significant other. So men communicate in straight lines and women communicate in color. So for instance, she may say something like, "We never go out." And he will hear, because he's a linear thinker, "We have never gone out." Now, of course, that's not what she's conveying. She, in her colorful language, is using very few words, but having a large meaning to it, a deeper meaning to it. And if we just hear, "We have never gone out," we're going to miss all of what she's trying to say. There's going to be a lot that is lost in translation. Another example, she may say, "I want more romance." And he's going to hear, "I'm not romantic enough for you." Yes, he's going to draw a straight line from one point to the next. And he's going to infer meaning where perhaps he has misinterpreted what's going on, right? And so here, these are just basic examples. I can give you a lot of these, but instead, let me go a step further and talk about what linear or straight line thinking and straight line communication looks like. And then I'll talk about what colorful thinking and colorful communication looks like. So men are linear thinkers in their communication, and are more prone to interpreting communication in a linear fashion. So let me talk a little bit more about what that looks like. Remember, what's the straightest, shortest distance between two points? It's a straight line. How many different straight lines are there? There's just a straight line, right? I'm not talking about curvy lines or zigzags, and zigzags are made up of straight lines. They're just straight lines. Straight line communication means that he will be more concise with his language, and he will be more rational and will sound less emotional. So he'll use less words. He will use less emotion. There won't be more to read in between the lines with what he's saying. And if there is any emotion in his speech, it will be more aggressive in nature. So when I say aggressive, don't think of it from the standpoint of physically aggressive. I just mean his emotion will usually default to things like frustration, anger. There will be no sadness, despair, fear, worry. Even if there are, they're going to be masked with the anger or the aggressive emotional energy. And this is perhaps why there is this new movement towards calling men sassy when men show more than just aggressive emotions. And I'm not going to get stuck on that topic, but there is this new thing going where if you look online in certain spaces, you'll actually see where women will call men sassy when men show more than just aggressive emotions, right? So, but perhaps this is the reason why, because men are usually more prone to being linear in how they emote and in how they express themselves. See, straight line communication also means that he will struggle to identify certain emotions that are too colorful and will definitely not be able to manage those emotions in you. So if you're looking for him to manage your emotions or be there with you while you're going through the range of emotions, wives, well, you may be disappointed at times. Wives, don't desire for him to be something and then discipline him for trying and missing the mark, right? So if you have a husband who's like, okay, I want to try to be more colorful. I want to try to be more emotionally expressive in my language, but then he misses the mark. Don't discipline him for trying and missing. If you do this, he will stop trying to communicate colorfully. He will default back to the straight line communication that's safer for him and easier for him to do, okay? So just want to throw that side note there. Man, I could spend more time here, but I'm not going to do that today. This is just this conversation is to stir the pot, to bring the information to the surface, and then I'll have to go deeper in our Mastering Marriage workshops. So let me shift gears and talk about colorful communication and what that looks like. So if men communicate linearly, women communicate colorfully and in detail. See, the mind of a woman is not designed to think linear. Hear me clearly. Her mind is an incubator, just like her womb. So women, if you have been wondering if you're crazy because you think a lot about a lot all the time, if you can easily worry or you get a piece of information and then your mind runs with all of the other details or at least options, you create a narrative in your mind. If you're wondering why that's the case, well, it's because your mind is an incubator just like your womb is. Why do you think in Proverbs 31, they give a very elaborate picture, a description of what the Proverbs 31 wife looks like? And she is multitasking like no other. And she has her hand in many things, moving all at the same time. And she's doing it wonderfully, right? Now, what we've seen is that we think, well, she thinks too much or she's, you know, adding more to the story. We think that's a bad thing, but it's not. Whatever you give your wife, she multiplies. That's her job. You give her a sperm, she's going to multiply it. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. I have a living, breathing example of that. My daughter is an example of my sperm meeting her egg, my wife's egg, and then her body doing the rest, multiplying it. I don't know how it works. I just know it happens. This is one of her greatest gifts, her ability to incubate. But if it's misunderstood, it can also be a double-edged sword, or if it's misused or mismanaged. Women have to be in control of this ability because it happens almost on autopilot, right? And women, y'all know I ain't lying. I've worked with my fair share of women in my career, and I pay attention. I study. I'm learning. So these aren't just my thoughts. Women confirm this to me. But women communicate in color, and they communicate in detail, and their minds are incubators. Women add context and detail to most pieces of information that you give her husbands. So if you're giving her, like if she asks you, so, hey, babe, how was your day at work today? And you say, oh, it was good, or it was all right, or, you know, I had a rough moment. You're forcing her to add detail and context. So if you're giving her linear responses like that, her mind will automatically add color, context, and dimension to it to try to fill in the gaps. This is how her mind works. And so you're setting her up for failure if you give her just these basic linear responses, because her mind is going to force itself to fill in the gaps. And then she's going to ask you questions, or then she's going to infer meaning. And all of a sudden, because she said something that you ain't say, or she poked a button that you wasn't really wanting to talk about, now you're frustrated and now we're back in a conflict. Okay? And I'm not just poking fun on the husbands, but I'm using this as an example. So again, it's not a bad thing when your wife adds color and detail. That's how her mind works. This is how she learns to trust in a relationship. This is how she determines how and who to trust, how and who to connect with, right? This is how she determines how deep the connection is, depending on how colorful her interactions are with you. So just be mindful of this, husbands, that women communicate in color. You have to be mindful of this. That way, when you're talking to her, don't expect for her to give you linear responses. Just like wives, when he's talking to you or vice versa, don't expect him to give you colorful responses. Wives, you have to be better at understanding linear communication and interpreting linear responses. Husbands, you have to do much better at understanding color and adding color to your communication style so that you don't leave your wife wondering what the heck is going on in your world. You guys got to do better, both parties. Okay, so here's a side note for the husbands. Don't expect for her to interpret information like you do. And please, whatever you do, please practice patience with her, right? Your linear thinking will have you thinking that she talks too much, right? Now, trust me, I've heard my fair share of this in sessions. Your linear thinking will have you thinking that she talks too much, where in reality, you don't provide enough information to fill in the gaps. So she has to talk more. And in the next rule or one of these next rules, I'll explain why that's the case. Okay. But don't trick yourself into thinking you just talk too much because she's talking more than you. And wives, don't talk too much. I know I just sounded like I'm contradicting myself, but what I'm really meaning is if your husband is a linear thinker and a linear communicator, he's going to say less. He's going to use fewer words and less detail. And then he's going to also communicate with less information, which means that he's not going to talk for a longer period of time. So don't take that as a license to continue to talk because he's not talking. Because what's happening is you're actually enabling a bad habit while demonstrating a bad habit. And so don't take the shotgun approach and ask 10 different questions because you only get one and that one didn't answer question number four. Stick with question number one and stay focused on that one question. See if you can get an answer before you add other questions to the pool to get more information, okay? And I'm sorry, I know I'm kind of rushing through this because I can spend a whole session just talking about this, but I'm not because I need to go to rule number three. So here's rule number three. There are dramatic differences between why husbands communicate and why wives communicate. So there are dramatic differences between how they communicate and why they communicate. So let me talk a little bit about why wives talk. See, wives talk to express meaning, to gather information. They actually are communicating to discover what it is that they really want to say. Because they know how they feel, they may not know exactly all the words to express how they feel, and how they feel isn't linear, it's colorful. So it requires more information. Think of it from this standpoint, husbands. Your wife is communicating from how she feels towards expressing her point. So she doesn't start with a point that she wants to convey. She's starting with an emotion that she's experiencing, which points her in the direction of what the point is that she's trying to say. So she's not going to start with her point. She's going to arrive at her point, which means that she's going to talk more because she's expressing how she feels, and each feeling is a step towards her point. And so if you get impatient because you think you know her point, you're going to miss all of the meaning and the feeling and the emotions she's really trying to convey. Because remember, and I'll say it this way, women communicate not just to gather information or to express, disseminate information. They communicate to create intimacy. See, women connect through their communication. Men, we don't. We're not communicating with you to connect with you. As a matter of fact, we'd rather not communicate with you to connect with you. Because we know when we communicate with you in an attempt to connect, we're not that good at it. But women communicate as a way to connect. They feel they're closest to you when communication is experienced, not resolved. Y'all missed that point, husbands. Let me repeat myself. Women, wives, feel they're closest to you when communication is experienced, not resolved. This is why she fell in love with you to begin with. Because you were at the beginning of the relationship communicating with her to experience her, not to resolve anything because you didn't know nothing about her. So you were experiencing her and she was enthralled in that experience, which is why she believed that communicating with you would go so well, only to find out that this dude sucks. He sucks at communication. But let me not get stuck there. Listen, wives communicate. They're usually not looking for a quick resolution. They're not communicating to find a quick resolve. They are actually communicating for a rich communication experience. If you miss that, if you misunderstand that, you're going to miss a whole part of communicating with your wife. Because she ain't communicating for you to solve the problem. She's communicating with you to feel connected through a rich communication experience. And that is why they could easily revisit certain seemingly resolved conversations months later. Because to you, it was resolved. But to her, the communication experience was disconnected. Probably because, oh, well, I thought we solved this problem. I thought we came to a conclusion. She wasn't looking for a conclusion. She was looking for an experience. And you misinterpreted that. Husbands, we have got to do better in this, okay? We have got to do better at communicating with an expressed intent of experiencing something rather than solving something, okay? So let me move forward to talk about why husbands communicate. Husbands communicate to gather information and to express an idea of an image. So when we communicate, we're trying to convey an image that we want you to see. And here's the reason why. See, men, when they communicate, they start at a solution. In their minds, they already know what the solution is. And so they are not talking towards the solution. They start with the solution and they are talking towards a point. And the point, the main goal of the point is to point you back to the solution, right? I know, just listen, just walk with me. So they're communicating because they know they have a solution in mind. And so they're talking towards the point. And the point of the point is to point you back to the solution. That's why they say men are fixers. It's because he already is starting off with the solution in mind. And his goal is to get you to see the solution. So the point is really just to get you to see what he already sees, which is why men communicate with the expressed intent of painting a picture, of showing you an image. This also means that if he doesn't know the answer, wives, hear me clearly. Please hear me clearly. This also means that if he doesn't know the answer or if he lacks the solution, he will not say much. He actually will shut down. He will avoid the conversation. Because remember, most of the time, I'll probably say 80% of the time, men will start off with a solution. So if he doesn't have much to say or if he's not communicating with you, it probably means that he doesn't have the solution. He's already communicated to you the solution and he's tried to get you to see the point, but you ain't listening, or he doesn't think that the solution works, right? So he doesn't have confidence in it. But usually if he's not talking much, it's because he doesn't have the solution, because he usually will start off with the solution if he had it, okay? Hopefully that makes sense. Again, listen, when we do our Mastering Marriage workshops, our virtual workshops, we'll be able to demonstrate this on a more contextual level so that it's tangible. But for now, take this stuff down, think about it, ask me questions if you have them, okay? All right, let me move on to rule number 4. Men and women express silence for completely different reasons. That's important to understand. Men and women express and use silence for completely different reasons. Really quickly, if a woman is silent, that's a bad sign. That something has happened, and that's not a good thing. That means the house is on fire, because usually women don't like to express silence inside of a conversation, because that's how they feel they're most connected. So if she's silent, you need to fix something broken, right? And not, I'm meaning you done messed up somehow. You done pissed her off and now she's overwhelmed and she usually ain't gonna go silent. So if she does, we need to go and call the Calvary, call me, because the end is near, okay? But for men, your husband, he will express silence for a completely different reason. So women will panic when men are silent because of what it means for them when they are silent. That's why women panic when the husband goes silent. That's why she fights so much to get him to be back engaged in the conversation, because she knows if she goes silent, she knows what that means. We just don't. So when your husband is upset or stressed, he will automatically go silent, or he will automatically go to his cave to sort things out. Sometimes the man cave is a figurative space. Sometimes it's a literal space. Either way go, if he's stressed or if he's overwhelmed or if he doesn't have the solution, he's going to go there first. to his cave, to the man cave. And no one, I repeat, no one is allowed into the cave unless he approves first, right? This is why husbands are so adamant about when they shut down. Some may call it stonewalling, and y'all learned from a previous podcast that's not healthy. But when he goes into the shutdown mode, he goes into the cave, and he don't want nobody to come in there with him. So wives, don't overreact to your husband going to his cave, because this, at times, is his way to try to recalibrate himself, regather his thoughts, and to reassert his point, or at least to understand what the solution really is supposed to be. Don't take him going to his cave as a sign of rejection or disconnection. I just said, if you go silent, that's you disconnecting, and that's not healthy. So you will most likely overreact when he does it, because that's what you're interpreting his actions to be. Don't do that. Him going into his cave is usually not a sign of rejection or disconnection. Sometimes it can be, but for the most part, it's usually not. If you let him, he will come back. So if you let him go in by himself, he will eventually come out back to you. So don't do for him what you want him to do for you. Because I just started off with point number one, or rule number one, there's a difference between how women and men communicate. There's a difference between how they deal with silence, and there's a difference between when he goes quiet and when you go quiet. So don't try to get him to talk before he's ready. Otherwise, he will only stay in his cave even longer. He's usually in his cave. I'll give you reasons why he's there. He's usually in his cave looking for practical solutions for the problem. He's usually there if he doesn't have the answer. He's going to his cave if he feels upset or stressed. If he's starting to feel aggressive and he doesn't want to give off that energy. And he's also going to his cave if at times he's trying to find himself. And if he's lost, if he doesn't have the guidance or the direction, sometimes just going to the cave to regroup, taking some autonomy space, helps him to see a better, more refined view in the mirror. Think about it from this standpoint. Don't punish him for needing to go to the cave. Don't do that. Okay? This is part of how the man emotes. He goes to the cave to emote. Don't try to help him solve the problem either. I know I'm saying a lot of don'ts, but this should help you to just kind of back up a little bit and give him that space if he's going to the cave. The cave does not represent somebody else's DMs. The cave does not represent pornography. The cave does not represent the bar to drink or the hookah lounge or some other female. Guys, that's not what I mean when I say the cave, okay? So don't, this is not a license to be reckless. Also, back to the women, don't nurture him by asking him about his feelings. Again, he's going to the cave to reassess how he feels and what's really going on, so he may not have the answers. Also, don't sit at the front door of the cave waiting for him to come out. Do you, boo. Go do something that you want to do for yourself, and don't worry, he'll come out, okay? Don't worry, he'll be out, he'll be back. Do something that makes you happy instead. And husbands, if you are going to your cave, communicate to your wife that you are still connected, even though you are going to the cave. Okay? Let me tell you a little bit about how she sees the cave, how she sees this. Remember that your wife communicates for intimacy or for connection. So when you go to your cave, she may see this as a form of intentional disconnection, and she may panic. She may go into fight mode. You don't want that to happen, so communicate to her first your intentions of going to the cave and what will happen next. Give her some expectations. That way, she's not sitting there wondering, filling in the gaps, because this is how her mind works. Women desire reassurance that the connection is not destroyed. So give her the reassurance that she needs. Don't judge her for needing reassurance. This is what makes women and men different. Give it to her, okay? That's what she needs, so give it to her. It's healthy. It makes her feel safe. As a matter of fact, here are four very powerful words that you can say to her to give her that reassurance. I will be back. Okay? I'll be back. I'm going into my cave. I just need some space, but I ain't gonna stay there too long, and I promise I'll be back. Okay? And that usually helps her to feel safe and secure that the connection is not disrupted. Okay? Oh man, this is good. I'm over 30. 30 minutes is over. It's shot. Let me go to rule number five, because I'm almost done. But this stuff, guys, I hope this is helping you. Again, y'all gonna have to come and hang out with us in real time. when we do our workshops so that you can actually take this stuff to the next level. We'll show you how to. So rule number five, treat listening to your spouse like an art form. Be artistic with your ability to listen to your spouse. Trust me, this stuff works. I know it kind of sounds cliche, but here's what I mean. Here's some strategies for artistic listening. Listen outside of your own thoughts. So guys, wives and husbands, actually, this is not just for husbands. This is for both parties. Listen outside of your thoughts. We often have, like even right now, a running narrative going on in your mind while you're listening. Turn the volume down so that you're not distracted by your thoughts. Because what will happen is if you're not listening to them, you're listening to something else, or you're shutting down and it's causing you to not be present with what is going on. Okay. Also, listen to their body language. I told you guys before when I did the teaching on communication and the importance of that when I talked about the pillars, 55% of communication is in your nonverbal body language. So if you're just listening to the words or the tone, but not listening to the body language, you're going to miss a whole lot of what's going on, right? So pay attention. Look at each other in the face. Look at the body language. Pay attention to what's going on with their hands and their arms and their eyes and their mouth. Look at all the details, okay? Because that will help you to understand what exactly they are communicating. Another strategy for artistic listening is listen through the lens of their life experience. See, often we interpret the world and also information and also communication through how we experience the world. But if you're communicating to your spouse, husbands, communicate to them, but take into consideration their worldview, not just yours. So if you find yourself saying, but I wouldn't do that, well, that's irrelevant because you ain't them. Wives and husbands, because I hear both parties say this. Yeah, see, you did. I don't understand why you did that, because if it were me, I would have done this. Well, that's great because that's you and they are them, and you guys communicate and interpret information for two different reasons, from two different worldviews. Keep that in mind. That way you're not missing them. And if you need more help on this, in my book, my beautiful book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, which if you don't get it, please. Not just get it for me, but get it for your marriage. But in there, one of the laws is the law of the pupil. And this law talks about how it's important for you to be a student of your spouse. So you need to know their life experiences, their childhood, their family of origins, so that you can incorporate that information into your interpretation of their communication. Okay? Rewind that if you need to get a better understanding of what I just said. But I got to go. I got to keep going. Also, ask questions if you don't know or need more information. Again, there is another law in my book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, that talks about the law of the right way or the law of the right question. Your communication will be better off if you're asking better questions. And in that chapter, I talk explicitly about how to do so and the importance and value of that in your communication. So go and check that out as well. Also, lastly, and this is probably the most artistic way to do it, listen to love. See, a lot of times we're listening to prove points, we're listening to silence them, but imagine if you listened to love them, like you're listening to them in your communication with them. Imagine if that was your gift to them, because remember, love is something you do, it's something you give, it's how you think, right? I define it as to give all that I have all the time. It's something you give. And so imagine if you're listening to give love, instead of listening to prove them wrong or to get your point across, right? And again, if you need more clarity on that, chapter one of my book, The 37 Laws to Mastering Marriage, talks about agape and what love looks like. And so if you're using your listening as a way to love them, then you're providing agape love or unconditional love to them, okay? Oh man, I could go further with this, but it's time to end this. So here's what I want you guys to do. I just gave you five rules. Over the next week between now and the next podcast episode, I want you to take some time this week to intentionally apply these rules throughout the interactions with your spouse, especially those rules, those strategies for artistic listening, because I know I blew by those, but if you go one by one, those are really powerful. But all of these rules, incorporate these into your communication. Keep these at the forefront of your mind. Be mindful of your tendencies and your habits when it comes to communicating. And be mindful of your spouse's tendencies and their habits. And again, this is referencing the law of the pupil. Just be a student of your spouse so that you understand their tendencies and their habits. Don't exploit their weaknesses. Instead, protect them so that they can grow with you in this area. Okay? So don't exploit their weaknesses and don't hide your weaknesses. Use this as a place to feel safe and to produce additional growth. Okay? So I want you to take some time to focus on that over the next week. Hit me up with questions if you have them. If there are things you're confused about, I will make time and room and space to provide more clarity. Otherwise, guys, I want to thank you for attending today's session, episode number 14, where we discussed 5 rules for having better communication with your spouse. And this, it is my desire that you apply these things to your marriage, okay? This is how we improve. This is how we grow. So make sure you're being intentional about applying these things. Also, I really appreciate you joining me for this session at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. So join me again in episode number 15, where we're going to be talking about another very important topic that you don't want to miss out on. Otherwise, please do me a favor. Leave me some ratings and reviews. I've been enjoying reading those. Guys, everybody that's been leaving those, I really appreciate that. That's the only way this podcast grows and it's more visible to others. Also, make sure that you're liking, commenting, and sharing this information on social media. And please don't forget to go to our MarriageCounselorsCorner.com website to leave your questions and your comments. Lastly, guys, thank you again. I appreciate the support, and I really look forward to speaking with you guys in episode number 15 of the Marriage Counselor's Corner podcast. Until then, be safe, be strategic, do your homework, and I will talk to y'all soon. Deuces.
Thanks for stopping by for your seat on the couch at the Marriage Counselor's Corner. Remember, go to MarriageCounselorsCorner.com to schedule your next session. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you never miss a session. We look forward to having you back on the couch soon. Bye-bye now.